I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hey everybody, welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Monday, September the 12th. I'm Brad Locke, along with Derek Russell, and producer Chris Kiefer over there.
Morning.
Hey, Chris.
It's Monday.
It is Monday.
I'm struggling.
Well, I feel you. Every day last week felt like a Monday for me, though. And that was a short week.
Say ironic, because there was no Monday.
Dude, yeah, but
that you worked.
Tuesday
there
made
was
up
no
for
Monday
it.
Monday last week.
Tuesday made up for it. Whoa, what?
What if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
What?
What? Groundhog Day.
I'm gonna need more coffee to get my head wrapped around that.
That's
one.
All right. I mean, there's plenty down the hall of that hot brown water that you won't touch.
Yeah, see, it's still better than what we used to have, though. Yes. I think the problem is somebody, whoever makes it, doesn't make it strong enough.
I still think it's decaf.
You're still on the decaf train? Yeah. I thought we confirmed it was not decaf.
I'm a decaf truther.
Decaf truther. I was in Cafe 212 the other day, and some lady came in and ordered a large decaf something. I just had to hold my tongue. It's like,
what's the point?
It's 8:30 in the morning, and you're ordering decaf.
I can't have that much caffeine.
I mean, I like the taste of coffee, and so maybe I get it later in the day. You just want the taste of coffee, but not the caffeine. But, like, it's 8:30 in the morning, you get a large decaf. I just don't understand. What's wrong with people? Probably put a bunch of cream and sugar in it, too. Yeah, drink coffee black. It's the only way to drink it. I like the little bit of bitterness I can taste.
Ah, it goes with your soul.
Dark and bitter, just
so
like my soul.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's how you enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a pretty good weekend.
Yeah?
The AC is kind of sort of fixed.
Kind of, sort of.
Well, they put in a new unit.
And?
And then they found that there's something wrong with a hose or something that regulates the flow of Freon.
I think we're ready to go ahead and put a lemon sticker on this
one. So they're coming today to put in a new valve or something.
They are making so much money on it.
Then they're like, hey, you need a new furnace because it turns out the one you have is as old as the house. That furnace has been there since 1978.
Lemon.
Since I was like 2 years old.
It's
that furnace
lemon.
Has been there. Well.
I'm sorry.
Anywho, but hey, it's cooler in the house than it was, so that's an improvement.
What happens next? After the furnace is...
Hopefully nothing. My wife's van needs brakes. I didn't realize how bad it was until I drove it yesterday. It's just basically grinding.
Pool leak.
So, what?
Pool leak next.
Don't know.
Put that out there.
The pool's been fine so far, okay?
A little critter in the front window going to start messing up the place.
Hmm?
With that little alien. Gremlin.
Ghost.
The ghost, whatever.
The
I don't
light.
Know.
No, I haven't seen the ghost lately, no.
I think he's a gremlin.
Well, there's been... I don't know.
Did you feed him after midnight?
I think our house might be haunted. There's been a couple of incidents recently that make me wonder. Okay. Like this morning, Drew swears he turned off the sink in his bathroom, but there was water running. And I heard the water come on, and I don't remember if he was in there or not when it happened. I thought maybe he was in the living room. I'm telling you, it's haunted.
I thought my house was haunted because there's a ceiling fan in the kitchen that keeps coming on. But then I realized whoever wired it with the upstairs fan. So whenever you turn the upstairs fan on right above it, the upstairs
they just
fan
did that
comes through
with you. That's
yeah.
what they did.
But it's nice because they're right above and below each other. So as I go up the stairs, I can check on one and then lean nice. Up and look at it. Yep, they're both on. Okay, good.
You know a place that might really be haunted? Barnes & Noble.
Okay.
My wife works there at the cafe.
Sure.
She slings coffee mm-hmm. about once a week.
Sure.
She used to work there more often, but, you know, we had a baby. Anyway. Apparently, there's been several little incidents there in the cafe, and everybody that works there is like, yeah, it's haunted. Because apparently, the mall was built on an old Indian burial ground. Oh, that's the rumor. I don't know if it's true.
It's built on a swamp.
And, like, stuff will just fall over that should not fall over. Like a stack of cups that's sitting perfectly balanced.
If something can fall over, it will. That's
yeah, but they're not supposed to be falling over.
Murphy. So well, I think it's a mixture of the both, actually. Right.
So, yeah, apparently the cafe is haunted. Maybe the whole mall. I don't know. What?
Mutant.
Nerfy.
Newfie.
What are you talking about?
Murphy says if it can happen,
Murphy's
it will.
Law. Yeah.
And then Newton, you know, law of gravity.
Right.
So if you put the two together.
Oh, Nerfy or Mutant.
Yeah. And now you're catching up. And coffee's got you a few steps behind.
Yeah.
Who we got on the show today?
I'm always behind. Today we've got Jenna Parsons to talk about army worms. That's exciting.
How is she going to cook those, Brad?
Nah, they don't taste too good to me. I don't know if she's going to cook them or not. Forklift. Right. That sounds tasty. That's Forklift food. Is open.
Yeah.
David Leather's new restaurant. We'll have Adam Robson on to talk about his photo essay about the Pontotoc Monument Company.
Mm.
I feel like we need Vincent Price in here. Mm. God rest his soul. To do
the funk of 40,000 years.
Pretty good.
Not really.
And we've got me on the show doing crime reports.
You?
We've got some good stuff today.
I didn't know you were going to be on today.
3 days a week?
I wasn't aware.
Mm.
I would have worn a nicer shirt.
You got a nice shirt on.
Thank you.
You even got it tucked in.
Look at that.
This is more than I can say for me. I don't tuck in shirts.
I can't do the short sleeve button downs.
I just really like this shirt.
It suits you. I'm not a short sleeve button down kind of guy.
Yeah. Usually I'll go with a long sleeve and then just roll them up a little bit.
Yeah, that's
but this is an exception.
You got a bracelet on there.
My oldest daughter made that for me.
Look at that.
So, and she's off at college down in Starkville.
Was it a ghost?
So it reminds me of her.
Mm, all right. Well, we're gonna go ahead and get started on this Monday. Jenna Parsons joining us on this Monday, not to discuss food first out, although when I saw you were going to discuss army worms, I thought, how does she prepare army worms? What recipe does she use?
Very light saute.
Ah, there's a little salted and a little pepper.
Right.
Ground pepper on there.
Right, maybe a little garlic powder.
They go quick. You need a plate of this, just sounds disgusting.
I am glad I have not had breakfast.
Yeah, me either. I had to talk about this on Newsbreak for today. I didn't even attempt to pronounce the solutions that your sources recommended for using against the army worm infestation. I'm just going to make you do it on the spot.
Chemicals.
Can't do it.
All right, then. But there is something that takes care of
them. There are a couple of different things. Well, there are actually three things that you can do. One's a little more friendly than the other two, although I don't really know how, because
we don't want friendly. This is war, Parsons.
The first two kill them instantly, and the one that's more humane actually has them starve to death. So
that's more humane.
Yeah, really.
Actually, I do want them to suffer a little bit.
Well, we had an outbreak that lasted almost 2 weeks, the end of August and the first of September. Mm-hmm. I was not aware of this. They love Bermuda grass, these fall army worms, and we don't have Bermuda grass. So our yard was spared, although I understand that they were not just eating Bermuda grass. They also took out St. Augustine and centipede and zoysia because they were that hungry.
They're ravenous.
They are, and they come in and they eat the blades of grass. They don't eat the roots. So even though your yard looks really awful, it will come back.
Eventually.
Eventually, right. I mean, it'll green up. You know, we've still got another month of summer, unfortunately, or hot weather before we... Sorry, Brad.
I heard a gasp from across the room.
But, yes, if you have them in your yard, you will see them. You can get down on your hands and knees and see these little greenish-brown worms with the stripe on them.
If you go down by the water, you can find the Coast Guard worms.
And then you just go to your local garden center and you say, I need something to kill army worms, and they will pronounce these products for you and sell them to you.
Or you could just burn your yard. That's what I'd do.
Right.
Don't worry. Your house is a lemon enough. I'm sure it will take your yard will take care of itself. Thuricide? We're gonna try that?
Go ahead.
Thuricide.
What's the other one? Starts with a B.
Bifenthrin.
Yes. That is correct.
Oh, I did it?
I think you did.
Pay me. I don't want a five from you. As you said, that the worst seems to be over with them, but...
They've never seen anything like this. Yeah. Normally, they start south on the coast, and they work their way north, and, you know, they just kind of come in little waves, and we have them every year. But for whatever reason, and they can't explain it, they don't know, was it the hot weather, was it the rain, there's no explanation all at one time,
and
people were just going nuts. And we still will have a couple more outbreaks before, as they say, we get a killing frost, and that wipes them out, but they won't be nearly as severe as we
That's
hope.
Usually what slows what Brad we just down, had, too.
The killing frost.
Yeah.
Love me a good killing frost.
Why are they called army worms? Do you know the answer?
I have no idea.
All right.
Except that I would guess because they're greenish brown and those are the army colors, but I don't know.
But they're not actual worms.
They're caterpillars.
Right. Huh.
Maybe they march. Maybe they march in step.
Army caterpillar just is a lot to say.
Yeah, it is.
An army worm is one word, by the way.
It is. Which I enjoy. Is that in the AP book?
It's in the dictionary.
It's in the dictionary. Wow.
We don't go by the dictionary. We go by the AP style book.
I was just curious if it was in the book, in the holy book.
I don't think so.
Find it. I wonder if Coast Guard worm is. You had another story. Today is the long-awaited opening of the Forklift restaurant on West Jackson Street, David Leather's restaurant.
Right.
Only opening for lunch at this time?
Only opening for lunch right now because he doesn't have a liquor license. So he'll be open from 11 till 2, Monday through Friday. And that's probably a good way to open anyway, is just to, you know, get that under your belt before you do too much.
Then expand.
Then when he gets the liquor license, he'll be open for dinner in the evenings and also for brunch on Saturdays.
So that's been a long time coming, part of this redevelopment going on in West Jackson, but he's had that spot for
a while.
A long while. As far back as I can remember, after they tore down the standing apartment complex that
he had
was there.
It before then. If you'll remember, they were going to Shelby Craig, who was an intern at Price and Morrow, had designed the restaurant to be within the shell of the apartment building. And then it was just one thing after another, and it was just a better idea to tear it down totally. And that's probably not a bad idea.
I was still trying to figure out how that was going to work anyway.
Yeah. If you look at the restaurant now, you can see it's sort of that rectangular shape.
True.
So that floor plan, I guess, was sort of the same, but probably just thinking of all the people that had lived in an apartment complex for years and years and years, it's probably best just to start fresh.
The EPA said no. Did he end up getting that sign back?
He did get the sign back. I don't know if you remember, we wrote a story when the sign was stolen. And
as I remember, that was why. Somebody called. They called me looking for you.
I think
the police
did. The police saw it on the back of a salvage truck.
I was paranoid for about 30 minutes until I figured out what was going on. It was like a Friday and I was off. I didn't even know the thing had been stolen or that the cops were calling me looking for Jenna. I was like, Jenna, you got to run. Go ahead and get a head start. I'll hold them off the pass.
He did get the sign back. And in fact, at one point he had told me that he was going to try to incorporate it somewhere in the restaurant to have good mojo, but I have not actually been in the restaurant since it's been done. Mm-hmm. I was there maybe 3 or 4 months ago when things were just starting to be put into place.
What about the little side?
You know what? I didn't even ask him about that, and I meant to. I was thinking about that this morning, the little drive-through coffee pastry shop. I need to check and see what the status of that is. He didn't mention it when we talked, so I don't know if he may still be looking for a pastry chef, or it may be open as well.
Ready to go. You know.
So we've got Forklift Part 2.
So that opens today. When are you going to go?
I think we're going to try to go. I'm taking some time off at the end of the week. I think we're going to try to go either Thursday or Friday for lunch. I may text David and say, is it better to come at 11? Is it better to come at 1:30?
Yeah. What kind of food will they be serving at the establishment, Jenna?
Sandwiches.
With smoked and cured meats, I hear.
On site.
All right.
And some sides and some desserts.
As you do.
And appetizers.
Pepsi products or Coke?
I did not ask that.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure he will be bombarded. A lot of people have been looking forward to that place for a long time. Jenna, please don't cook army worms.
I shan't.
Thank you.
And be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. So look for a new episode today, and if you missed it, just watch the replay at djournal.com. And also, wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. All right, let's welcome Adam Robinson, journal photographer, into the show. Welcome back, Adam. How you doing?
Very well, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. Hey, you had the In Focus photo essay in today's journal. It was about the Pontotoc Monument Company, which is an interesting choice, but fascinating, too, it looks like.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's, like I was just telling Chris, they were so busy, they barely had enough time to stop. I mean, they are literally rolling one in after another.
Well, that's the thing. People keep dying, Adam.
Yep, and that's happened. And, you know, there was one question I didn't get to ask is how, you know, recession-proof that was during, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those businesses you think would just be able to keep on pretty well. There's always demand for that sort of thing. What made you decide to choose this company? They've been around a while.
Yeah, 28 years, I believe, and owned by Kelly Russell. I do believe that's the guy's name. I don't have that info in front of me. But, I drive through Pontotoc a lot. They're always there on the corner.
Yeah.
Or not really on the corner, but they're on the main drag on Oxford Street. And, you know, you just always wonder how the process is of how they etch things and what do they use.
And they do everything in-house, don't they?
Everything is in-house. There's absolutely zero middleman. Wow. They've got a graphic designer. She does all the plotting for the stencils, and then that's transferred out, and they pound that onto the granite with a huge rubber mallet just so it'll be able to set the pattern onto the granite. So once it does go into the blast machine to be etched, that, you know, none of that water is escaping the pattern and messing it up. So there's some skill.
Oh, yeah.
Deep skill involved with this. And they had three blast machines all going at one time. Huge lift to move all the stones with. And I mean, it's jam-packed in there with granite slabs. You can pretty much have your pick of what you would want.
Yeah, I mean, there's this picture of the warehouse with this all these big slabs of granite and ready to go to be used. And when you think about it, Adam, this is really, I mean, these monuments, they're pieces of art when you get down to it.
Oh, they totally are. And they've got a lot out on display out front that have, you know, looked like someone just colorfully went in and hand-painted it. It's looking like pictures are on there.
Wow. Yeah, I imagine they'll do anything from the simplest to some pretty ornate designs.
Oh, totally. Yeah, like the one in the lower right hand corner Mario's putting together. It was very
impressive.
Extensive. Then they did have that out on display outside, but he's adding more details and the names and putting the lithographic paint on there.
You
I mean, it gets etched and cut and you know, then the they go through, you know, the process of removing the stencil and weeding out the part of the stencil that they don't need, and that's going to stay shiny. And
yeah,
man, it's impressive.
Can I ask you a question? I was just thinking of how quick is the turnaround? I mean, do they have to have this ready for the funeral?
Yeah. How quick is the turnaround?
No, actually, usually you have to wait for the ground to settle after someone's buried, and then they want to bring the stone in after that. So you've got probably a 3 or 4 month period before you order a marker.
Yeah. Now, there are some people who will order ahead of time, or maybe the wife dies and they go ahead and leave a space to put the husband's name for whatever.
Right. And you can go out on site and have things etched once the stone's set. So,
Okay. Oh, well, you know, these people, I'm sure it seems like I see a lot of smiling faces in these pictures. I mean, it seems like they enjoy the work.
They all enjoyed working with one another. I mean, they're there just like us here. We know what we've got to do, you know, to get through the day and get our work done. And they're the same way. Carol, the office manager there, she was constantly on the phone. I mean, she was making sure things were done. The guys in the back were they were flowing through one stone after another. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of those professions that I guess there's a morbid aspect to it. Kind of like, you know, Thomas Wells here, our chief photographer, his dad ran a funeral home. And so Thomas basically grew up in a funeral home, which explains a lot about him. but, you know, it's one of those businesses that, like I said, it's I mean, you're dealing with a lot of grieving people, but you really feel like you're helping people through the process.
Right. That's part of the closure of someone passing away. I mean, the stone's probably going to be one of the last things that you do in the burial process.
Yeah.
From what I personally understand, that didn't come from them at the Pontotoc Monument. We didn't talk in depth about that. That's just how busy they were. We didn't get real deep into this, but good folks there. Yeah. Can't thank them enough for letting me come in for a couple hours. It got cut short because I had to run to another assignment, but we only have so much space, and the original layout had a lot more photos in it. But I saw a few things of like the guy with the reflection.
Yeah,
I was like, we got to have that. Yeah. That's the whole reason I took that shot, because I saw him reflecting.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's pretty cool. Yeah, well, then you can find more photos online at djournal.com. We got a full gallery there and in the journal. Adam, good work as always, man. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarahs.
Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. And then the podcast version drops later that day. You can listen for free in iTunes or podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans, be sure to check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode each Thursday afternoon, in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. More than 125 participants signed up to take the physical challenge of going up 110 flights of stairs for the inaugural 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb Challenge hosted by the Tupelo Fire Department Ladies Auxiliary on Saturday. Melinda Montz, president of the auxiliary, helped organize the event. She wanted to continue to show that Tupelo will never forget what happened 15 years ago and to remember all the fallen first responders who lost their lives giving the ultimate sacrifice. The money raised from the registration fees will be given to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation, and 7 9/11 markers to be installed at the fire stations in Tupelo.
The Tupelo Aquatic Center has started a swimming exercise program exclusively for veterans called Aqua Vets. At the first swim meeting, 6 veterans dipped in the Elvis Presley pool. Tom Murray, a water safety instructor at the Tupelo Aquatic Center, wanted to create a community of veterans that takes pride in its past service. With the active and growing water exercise programs at TAC, he felt it would be a natural extension to reach out to them. The Aqua Vets program meets every Friday at 1 p.m. The 45-minute exercise program costs $5 for non-members or $20 a month for full access to the Tupelo Aquatic Center.
Record numbers of students are enrolled in Mississippi public universities this year. The total university system enrollment is 83,016, according to figures released last week. It surpasses last fall's record of 81,024. Higher Education Commissioner Glenn Boyce said the record enrollment shows that students understand the importance of investing in higher education. The University of Mississippi has an enrollment of 24,250 students, up 1.7% from last fall's count. Mississippi State's enrollment of 21,622 students is up 3.6%. The University of Southern Mississippi had the third largest enrollment in the state at 14,554 students. Mississippi University for Women experienced tremendous growth from last fall with an enrollment increase of 10.7%.
The University of Mississippi Student Union will be renovated and expanded over the next 3 years. Construction began in early July and is expected to be complete by the fall of 2018. Director of the Ole Miss Student Union, Bradley Baker, said crews are currently working on the second floor expansion of the building. The current student union was built in the late 1970s when Ole Miss's student population was around 9,000. The university now has more than 20,000 students. When the project is completed, the building size will nearly double from 97,600 square feet to 173,000 square feet. Some of the expansions and renovations include a larger lobby, 8 conference rooms, a large ballroom with a lobby and balcony, a larger dining space, and a front porch overlooking the Grove. The $50 million project is being funded by state dollars, bonds, and the capital improvement fees students are required to pay.
A new pilot program at Northeast Mississippi Community College will give 50 low-income residents in the region a second chance at completing their education and becoming certified for manufacturing jobs. Northeast has partnered with Second Chance Mississippi to implement the program. It will give participants the opportunity to obtain both their high school equivalency and a manufacturing skills basic certification. The joint pilot program is based on the idea that modest support and financial incentives will significantly increase the number of undereducated, unskilled, and unemployed adults in Mississippi. Participants will receive tuition assistance and $20 weekly gas cards to assist with transportation and or food while they complete the program. And now, because it's Monday, time for crime reports, Derek. Oh, yeah.
Try me. Reports. Try me.
Got some good news, my friend. Let's start with this little doozy. A County Road 54 Shannon man, 84, he's 84 years old.
Good okay. for him.
He said that while he was away, his ex-wife went to his house and stole his groceries. He said the suspect is on drugs and his 15-year-old son witnessed the theft. Are you good at math?
69.
He was 69 when he had a son. Or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing his ex-wife is significantly younger than him.
Picasso had kids well into his 70s. Who? There you go. Picasso. He's a famous artist.
Yeah, yeah. Picasso. Okay. I didn't catch the name there. No. Yeah. I mean, Abraham's wife was like 90-something, right?
Sure. Kid. Sure, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess it's possible. But I'm just guessing she's younger.
Stole his groceries?
Stole his groceries. Stealing an 84-year-old man's groceries. What's wrong with you?
Well, my question is, where was he going? He's 84. There's nowhere to go.
But not 84-year-olds can still get around.
Just stay home, buddy.
I mean,
the Price is Right will be on in a minute.
When I'm 84, if I actually make it that far, which I doubt, I'll probably just be sitting on the couch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So
where was he going?
Well, hey.
Tennis?
Yeah, probably. NASCAR?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nah, I don't watch NASCAR anymore.
I don't know. I was talking about him.
Oh, him.
Yeah, anymore. Wait, you watch NASCAR?
I used to watch it all the time. I was a big fan.
Brad, they drive around in circles. It's
yeah, I
so
know.
Stupid.
It just kind of got old to
it,
me.
No, it started old. It's
well,
the stupidest
I enjoyed it.
Thing.
And if you got people to root for.
It's and a, I hate when people call it a
and
sport.
I really
it's
like
not a sport.
It. Well, whatever. But I really like some, like the...
No.
Just
you don't like
what
any
they
of
talked about how no. the cars work and the strategies and all
no.
that stuff.
No, it's
you just
it's
really have to appreciate
no.
it. What it
no,
is for
you
what
don't.
It is.
Indy cars better, but
yeah,
it never really took off.
Indy's better.
It's not bad too. I mean,
at the time,
I just really don't have time to watch it anymore. I just like yeah, it's like the NFL. It just kind of grew old to me. I don't watch the NFL either. So, anyway, but yeah, dude, I used to years ago, we used to put out this little NASCAR tab. Special section before the season that I put together and wrote myself.
La-di-da.
Okay, I mean, that's how into NASCAR I was. And I lived in North Carolina for 2 years working up there, which is in the heart of NASCAR country, so I'd go cover races occasionally.
I used to go tell it to a lot of races.
Well, yeah, I mean, what is there to cover? They're going around again. Here they go again.
There's lots of happening.
And again.
Plenty
he's
happens.
Turning right.
Oh, God. He turned the wrong way.
Especially at Talladega. I've been to several Talladega races. And
there's more news going on in the stands
yeah,
at those
well,
events than there
say,
are out on the track.
To watch it in person in a lot of
I'm
ways.
Sorry.
Yeah, because
I
you
NASCAR.
Really get a feel for how intense and how fast those cars are moving.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Okay.
It's just
How loud is it in the stands?
Depends on where you're sitting. Yeah. I've actually only been in the stands for one race. The rest of the other races, I was either in the press box or down in the infield. But
is it press box? I mean, I guess obviously we guess the press box is indoors, but is it pretty loud up there, or is it?
It depends. Like in Talladega, I mean, it's kind of close to fairly close to the track, but it's enclosed, mm-hmm. so you hear them. But they're you know the sound is muffled somewhat just because you're
mm-hmm.
inside the press box. But a lot of other tracks, you might go down. They got a media center in the infield, and go cover it from there, and go wander the pits and the garage area. This is kind of fun to do. You see the cars up close, so it's quite the experience. Don't sell your. I mean, and
no.
apparently people have a really good time the being there like the whole weekend watching the.
I'm sure they do.
The whatever they used to be the Busch series. I don't know what they call it now. But yeah.
Do they do anything else there other than the two races a year? Is the track used for other?
Oh, I'm
concerts
sure.
maybe.
I'm sure it's got other uses mm. or.
Well, then you had Tennessee playing. Who did they play?
That
Bristol.
Was kind of cool.
Bristol, yeah.
Well, that's a fun track. It's a real short track, so you have all kinds of. Chaos
that
happening.
Looked ridiculous.
What?
This is having the game.
Yeah, that was kind of dumb, I thought.
I don't know.
All right, let's get to the next report. I get off on a NASCAR rabbit trail there. Apologies. A County Road 1009 Morville man said a male suspect arrived uninvited before 9 a.m. The suspect was, quote, highly agitated, yelling and cursing as he accused the man of having an affair with the suspect's wife. The suspect left without the incident becoming physical. Later in the day, several neighbors told the man that the suspect had come to their houses making the same allegations. So this guy...
Sir, I don't even have a wife. You slept with her!
So this guy thinks his wife's cheating with him on... cheating on him with the whole neighborhood or something? Or is he just like, she's cheating on me with someone.
It's I'm just going to keep accusing
people to someone.
I know she drove down this road. I know it's one of them.
He's going to keep accusing people till someone admits to it.
Maybe he's just checking their reactions.
Yeah, just going all the way down the list there.
I don't know.
I know y'all were watching NASCAR together.
Or he's...
crazy?
Crazy.
Yeah.
It could be it too.
Could be both.
I don't know. Probably not. Okay, a Little Street man said he got home around 3:30 p.m. and found a black revolver and a plastic bag in a fish tank on his front porch. A check revealed the gun had been reported stolen to the Tupelo Police Department. Just a fish tank.
Was the fish in the tank?
Already there?
I think the tank was probably... Yeah, that I don't know.
That's the key detail we need.
Yeah.
Like, I want to ditch this gun. Let me throw it in this fish tank.
I need the fish tank, but now I got to go up to PetSmart and buy some fish first to put in it.
Yeah, apparently there was no fish in it.
Huh.
I don't think you keep fish on the front porch.
So it's just an empty fish tank.
And there's a gun in a plastic bag.
Yeah, a gun in a plastic bag.
I've had a rash of, like, found guns lately. People finding guns in the bushes
Isn't
in their
that the
yard.
Smart thing to do? Like, if you have one and something happened to it, call, I've just found a gun. Randomly. I don't know where it came from.
Wipe it down.
Yeah.
I don't know
where it came from.
Maybe that was it. A Birmingham Ridge Road woman said she let a female drifter stay at her house for a short period. Seems like a really good idea.
Just
a drifter. Just a no-account drifter. So anyway, she did get the suspect to leave, but the drifter keeps coming back and has threatened her with a knife. I mean, I'm all for, like, being an open-hearted person, but you have to be realistic.
Why
don't let
a drifter
stay in your house.
Home?
Just direct them to the nearest homeless shelter, okay?
Is this the same drifter that got the knife from the flea market last week?
No, this was a female drifter.
Okay.
That was a male at the furniture market.
We don't know that he was a drifter, do we?
I don't know.
He had just a knife.
A guy. So. I was just a stab in the dark. That's bad.
He had a knife, obviously, as a drifter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you have two, that just makes you crazy.
Two knives?
Yeah. Best call I heard on the scanner yesterday was a guy calling for help. His girlfriend had two knives after him.
Whoa. Yeah. I
heard John Pitt say, good for her.
John would say that, wouldn't he? Okay. A County Road 805 Shannon man said a neighbor came over and asked if he and his girlfriend could wear more clothes when they go outside because his grandkids were outside.
That's what I'm saying.
The man said he was wearing his underwear and his girlfriend was wearing panties and a tank top at the time. He agreed to start wearing more clothes.
Now?
Going out in their skivvies.
If they agreed, why did we file a police report?
I guess maybe after the police came, they agreed to.
What? Okay.
The police helped their agreement along.
What road was it?
County Road 805.
80
in Shannon. Just going out in their underwear, just chilling in the yard.
Their property, man.
Doing work.
Their property.
Yeah.
Do what you got to do.
Get a fence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fence. Oh, a fence.
A fence.
So people won't take offense. A woman said she was approached at the Westman Kroger by two females who showed her a bag of cash. They said if she gave them all her money, she would get $20,000 in return. Seems legit.
That is. Why was there even a police report? Just do it.
Because she gave. Well, she did. She gave them $660. And when the women did not return from their quote office at Walgreens, she called the police.
You idiot. What? You idiot.
I hate to blame victims, but you got to be pretty
dumb. You were not the victim in that. You were not a victim.
This is like the worst scam ever. Like, they're probably chuckling to themselves like, no one's going to fall for this.
Hey.
Yep.
Look at all this cash. That's a lot of cash. Yeah, how much you got?
We got more.
I got about $606. Tell you what, you give me that $660, I give you this bag of cash.
Okay. I mean, I don't know why you'd want
to. Nothing could go wrong here. I got to run back to the office. But you have the bag of cash right there. Yeah, but we got to make it legal, see?
How about instead of just giving me the $20,000, how about instead of me giving you the $660 and you giving me $20,000, you just go ahead and give me 19,340.
How about you just
that's what you should
have
asked.
How about you just let me keep the six? Why were you walking at Kroger with $660 that's in the first place?
All I got is a couple bucks.
Yeah, I'm not liquid.
I guess what you could have it.
My wallet. Yeah.
$20,000.
What were you buying in Kroger?
I mean, I guess some people just carry cash instead of messing with a debit card, which is, to me, is not
well,
the smartest
listen,
thing.
Well, listen, I mean, she's already messed up. We already knew that there was a problem, A, because she was carrying that much money around, but B, we shouldn't have questioned anything when she just willingly gave it away.
I mean, is she thinking this is like, how does the brain process that as something that's not a scam?
I hope the police report went the exact same way as this conversation just did, because I hope he was like, why are we filing for this? We just need to be aware of him. He's like, well, no, I gave him the money. He's just like, you gave him the money? Why?
I imagine the look the officer gave her. He's like, really?
I would have laughed at her. I mean, sweetheart, come on.
I don't understand people. It's not that. Let's think for a minute. Why would they want to give you $20,000 in return for $660? What's the?
I got $20,000, but it's all Motion Picture Association of America money. Right?
Yeah,
but you give me that $660 legal tender and.
I just can't understand why she would think that's a good deal for them.
I mean, let's look at it from the other side. Those two people got a payday. I mean, who carries around that much money? They were probably expecting to come up with somebody with $80. Yeah.
I want to know what else they told her. There had to be more detail of what they told her.
Yeah, she's leaving something out.
Why they would do this.
There's some sort of blackmail involved here. We saw you hit that car.
It's like one of the lottery scams. Like, oh, you won, but we need this processing fee. That's kind of what it reminds me of.
Or like, we need cash now, but we'll send the $20,000 in the mail once we get it. We just need instant cash.
Yeah.
But we got the bag right
here.
But
walking through Kroger, you don't win the lottery just for walking through Kroger.
Just flash it real quick. Look at that. Look at that, like cash. You can have it. We just got to go process the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Because they have an office in Walgreens. What? There's no office in Walgreens. There's a pharmacy and a photo thing.
I'm a pharmacist. we gotta go back to my pharmacy and make this legal.
Oh boy.
Okay, I'll come with you. No, you have to wait here.
Speaking of pharmacies and Walgreens, a man walked into the CVS store at Crosstown around 3 p.m. As he tried to walk out with two cases of Bud Light beer, he was stopped. He said he had purchased them at Walgreens and was just, quote, price matching. While the manager backed up the surveillance tape, the man left with the beer. Because you need to bring the other beer in.
I need
price
to check
match.
These and make sure they weigh equal. Also,
like
I can't just look at the price.
They don't put
you
the price tag on the beer. See,
that's kind of simplistically stupid, but also sort of genius.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because you don't need to bring the beer in to price match it. I mean, anytime
Wesley ever wants to bring a toy to store, I'm always like, no, they'll think we stole it or something. I never let her do that. Or even like if she has candy or something, I never let her do that. But yeah, that's kind of, I just had these.
I just price matching. Okay, but where's the price tag on the beer? Because what's the point of bringing the beer in?
I just need to weigh these.
I just need to.
Go back and look at the camera. I'm on there. Okay, I will.
Gotta go. Yeah. So that's it for police reports today.
Nobody in the woods, huh?
No woods people
no
last
woods
week.
People. They're hip to us. Their movie comes out this Friday, so they're probably preparing.
Is that it?
They get the right
all
carpet
hell show. The Malco.
Is that the Blair Witch movie?
Yes.
Or is that a different
movie? Yes, that's the Blair Witch one.
Yeah.
They're probably preparing.
You looking forward to that? I can decide if I want to see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of that first one.
They're self-promoting it as the like most terrifying sequel of all time. Like,
yeah.
Like anybody could know that.
I could.
I quoted Napoleon Dynamite just then. Did you catch that?
Exorcist 2 was
dumb,
a terrible
it's
sequel.
It's the dumbest video ever. Like anybody can know that.
Exorcist 2 was a terrible sequel.
I didn't see it. I didn't see the first one.
You've never seen The Exorcist?
Nope. Never seen Poltergeist either. Well, I've seen parts of it.
These
movies came out
Catholic.
In the 70s,
yeah,
okay?
Is that why?
I told you this.
Maybe.
In the 70s and 80s when I grew up, we didn't get to watch those kind of movies. So I wasn't even allowed to watch those kind of movies until I was in high school, probably beyond high school. They weren't going to let me go rent Poltergeist in high school.
I say the memo folk get together for a double feature this Halloween, and we watch The Exorcist.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Let's do it. Poltergeist and Exorcist.
Okay, but I ain't going to be there because I've seen it before, and I know how that turns out. You give me this $606, and I'll give you this copy of The Exorcist.
I lived a sheltered childhood, Derek.
Well,
movie wise,
I think
anyway.
It's something you have to watch at least once.
First R-rated movie I saw, I think, was Top Gun. I went to see it in the theaters.
Is Top Gun R?
with all the language, I thought it was. Because I remember going in there, and I went with my friend and his dad.
Lord,
and
I saw that a lot. Top Gun's rated PG, really? Sweetheart.
Well, at the time,
I was going to say, I've seen Top Gun a lot.
Well, at the time, it seemed like a rated R movie because there's a lot of salty language. Yeah. At least for my 9 or 10-year-old self, it was a lot. And I remember my friend's dad being a little bit sheepish afterwards because there had been more language than he expected.
He said, bah.
So my bad. I don't know what my first rated R movie was then.
Top Gun is PG.
I did see, actually, when I was a kid, me and my, spending the night at a friend's house, we watched one of the Friday the 13th.
Yeah, those are mostly R.
So that was probably my first R movie back in the, I don't remember which one it was, but.
What about you, Home Skillet?
My first R movie?
Yeah.
I don't keep track.
Really?
I really don't remember.
Chris doesn't watch R movies.
At the theaters. No, I just never really, that was never really a milestone. I checked off. That's my first R-rated movie.
My first one was Rambo.
Nice.
First Blood, excuse me.
Cool. I haven't seen that one either, all the way through. Parts here and there. Dude, I'm telling you, I still haven't seen Jaws.
Holy God. Screw the Exorcist. We got some other stuff we got to watch first.
I've not seen Rambo either, but I will say Jaws, my dad showed it to me when I was like 5 to scare me because he thought I'd get it. He'd just get a kick out of like freaking me out. But it became my favorite movie. And like all during kindergarten, like that was my thing. Like I'd pretend like I was Chief Brody and like the little climbing thing at school was the boat. And I was like big into Jaws.
This guy.
This kid.
Oh, that's funny.
So maybe, is that R? That'd be my first R.
No, Jaws
movie.
Is PG.
I didn't think it was.
PG?
Yeah.
All that gore?
Yeah.
Is there a lot of gore in that one?
R rating didn't start till.
True, that didn't start till late 70s. Right?
So that's why, Top Gun's only PG.
That was in 86.
Yeah. Top Gun was about 86.
Let's see. First R rated movie.
Oh, boy. Doing some Google research here on the podcast.
You would think I would know this.
You'd think so, Mr. Movie.
Soon as I hear it, it's going to be like, oh.
I'm serious. There's like such a large gap in my movie watching experience because.
The Split, starring Gene Hackman. I've never even heard of it.
The Split, I've heard of it. Gene Hackman, he's good.
Yeah.
He's now retired writing books.
I don't remember that one. I know the first PG-13 one because I just remember because it was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. That's just a big that was
a saw that when I was a for kid. That.
But well, good. You've seen an Indiana Jones.
I've seen all the Indiana Joneses.
Well, that's something. You
in pieces. I've seen them, but I don't know that I've watched them beginning to end.
Gene Hackman's 86. Damn.
Yeah.
Look at him.
So okay. Hadn't seen Jaws.
Nope.
Sorry. Right. I'm going to think about what we're going to have to double feature.
I've seen a lot of good older movies, though, because we watched a bunch of old movies when I was growing up. I've seen Philadelphia Story, Charade, Breakfast at Tiffany's.
But Jaws. Jaws is a staple.
Psycho.
Blazing Saddles?
Yes.
Blazing Saddles?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's good, at least. Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
Yeah. Sorry.
Got me. I rewatched
it's amateur hour over here.
Rewatched the old Magnificent Seven this weekend.
Yeah.
Getting ready for the new release.
Yeah. You ever seen the Magnificent Seven?
No.
No.
I've seen some other older westerns though.
The Godfather. Holy crap.
Sorry. Bits and pieces. That's it.
I know you have.
I have. In fact, though, I had not
until
seen
recently.
Godfather 2 until recently. I watched it. That was kind of my mission last, about this time last year, I hadn't seen it, so I watched it over several days.
But you haven't seen 3 yet, have you?
I started 3, and I just, I didn't finish it.
Three is a beautiful disaster. 2's, I mean, most people cite 2 better than 1.
And I could see why after.
3 is...
Yeah,
three is just something you have to witness. It's still a good movie. It's just when you watch the other two, it's like, what did they?
I got about 20 minutes in, and I just couldn't get inspired to stay with it. I will at some point, but we've got
You hadn't seen The Godfather. You hadn't seen Jaws. You haven't seen Poltergeist. You haven't seen Exorcist. But you've seen a few of the Friday 13th.
I haven't seen Animal House.
You hurt my head.
I've seen most of Roadhouse, though, the movie that John Pitt's supposed to quote.
Thank God you've seen Roadhouse.
Yeah, most of it.
Ghost?
I've seen Ghost.
Okay.
I haven't seen Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh! You can't live in the South and not see Smokey and the Bandit.
I know.
Smokey and the Bandit is the one of the few things I enjoy about being from the South. That is a travesty, sir.
I know.
I could let Jaws slide, but Smokey and the Bandit?
Sorry.
Smokey and the Bandit's one of the greatest films ever created. Because it's one of those things you're just like, why did they do this? But thank God they did.
Sorry.
I am offended that you have not seen Smokey and the Bandit on so many different levels right now.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, Halloween triple feature, Smokey and the Bandit, Smokey and the Bandit Part 2. Yeah, let's skip Smokey and the Bandit Part 3. Burt Reynolds didn't even show up for that
one. I have seen part 3. I'm like, this is no good.
Well, if that's why you've not seen one, it's Jerry Reed just needed a paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah.
On part 3. Okay, we've gone way off here. So
I think we need to wrap the show
up. Let's tell them where to find us.
You can find us on iTunes, your podcast apps, or memo.djournal.com. We're on Twitter as well at djournalmemo. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Derek's on Twitter at Derek Russell. Chris is on Twitter at Chris Kiefer. It's not at Chiefer.
Nope.
Of course, that one's been taken. At Chiefer1, you could change it to that. We've been through this before.
Yeah, they can have this.
Okay. Well, we'll be back on Wednesday. Oh, by the way, all the stories we talked about today, find them in your daily journal or at djournal.com. And follow the journal on Twitter at djournalnow. Okay, that's it.
All right.
We're done. We'll be back Wednesday, talk about more gaps in my pop culture experience, perhaps. Maybe artists I don't particularly care for.
We could just start a whole new podcast with things you haven't been exposed to.
Next time on the memo, Brad talks about how he doesn't really get, he's never really gotten into Prince's music.
I won't be joining you for that one because it'll just be obscenity laden and I want to punch you a lot.
Ah, okay. See y'all next time.